Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. I'm hanging here with Emily. Emily, how are you?
Doing good. Saturday night in Maplewood.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I am cracking a beer open. Emily's already had a drink or two. Lake Placid IPA.
No, I've had one drink. This is, right. Oh. I'm on my second.
Oh, okay. Right. Right. Like, wink, wink.
Emily is wink, wink. No. Emily is three sheets to the wind. No.
This is Lake Placid IPA, what I bought when we were up in Lake Placid, 7% alcohol. And I will say it's a very standard IPA, but it's a very good IPA. There's nothing... I wouldn't say there's anything unique about it, but it's a great
you had
case.
Out the
it's like
other,
a Goose Island yeah. style.
But that beer you had out the other day when we had a random party on like on our front lawn, like on Friday night.
Right.
You had like a 9% beer?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, I've had like 11, 12. I mean, they go
oh my
up.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is high.
That is high.
Yeah. I don't know. That might be considered. If that was an IPA, that could be considered a double IPA. I don't know where it. The
could
cutoff.
Be considered illegal. No. Is that what you're going to say?
No. Anyways, we have a great guest. Actually, two great guests. Tell us who you interviewed today, Emily.
Lexi Fox. My first time getting Lexi Fox.
Getting lexified.
Lexified.
There you go.
From Steel Panther, of
yes,
course.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we were supposed to have them at Heavy Montreal.
Yeah.
And somehow that interview ended up getting canceled. But it was kind of cool to get this interview because it wasn't at, you know, the festival. And we could actually spend a little bit more time talking and stuff. The
cool.
festival was like, remember when they walked into the press, you know, the press tent?
Yeah, they blew us off. We had an interview scheduled with them and that was mysteriously canceled. And
I
then
know.
They showed up and did interviews with people.
We're like,
with
screw you.
Podcasts no. that have like three listeners. But that probably wasn't their fault.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just, it's scheduling stuff. They were literally in the press tent. They were in and out. But I'm always so impressed that when they come in, they're in full makeup.
Yeah.
They're full, you know, some bands, well, obviously Ghost is the biggest, you know,
right.
example I can give where yeah. we, you know, interviewed Tobias out of makeup.
Just some normal dude sitting in a trailer.
It was fantastic. Yeah. But, you know, Steel Panther comes in full makeup and hair. And Lexi being, you know, I mean, God.
Right.
That, those are wigs and stuff. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's
they
not
work
easy.
It. They work it. You know,
they
I mean,
do.
Tobias, he used to, the thing that's crazy about, and we will play some Ghosts later. The thing that's crazy about Tobias is he used to put on one of the Nameless Ghoul masks to
yes.
do interviews and no one really knew. But now that everyone knows Tobias is
yeah.
Papa and the
He's
Cardinal
out.
And everyone
Go
else.
Go back and
yeah.
listen to that
yeah.
interview if you want to talk about, if you want to hear his take
oh,
on
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a yeah. great interview. And we're looking forward to your interview, Emily. I did want to mention we just played some Iron Maiden here on the podcast. Coming into the episode, some classic shit. Excuse my language. But I put up on Facebook recently, Emily, a post because I've been trying to engage people. I was told by numerous people, Mark, you got to be more engaging on social media. So I am trying.
Are you engaged? Engaging.
Yeah, I'm trying. So I put up 43 minutes ago. We're recording this on Saturday night. I put up name three great super deep Iron Maiden tracks, way off the beaten path tunes. Here's mine. I chose the Montrose cover, the live Deano version of I've Got the Fire, The Educated Fool, a Blaze era song, and Childhood's End, which we were just listening to before. Great, great tune.
I know. It was you know. Funny because I knew it was Maiden, but I didn't know the song.
Yeah, it's a deep cut.
And I
for
turned
sure.
to you. What did I say? Were you impressed? You're like,
yeah.
This is definitely Maiden. I just don't know the song.
Well, I want to give a shout out to some of the people who responded. Kurt Miller said Reincarnation of Benjamin Brieg. And Kurt, good one. I guess you just went with one instead of three. That's totally fine. I know the song you're talking about. Great, great tune. Jason Smith, Age of Innocence, Starblind, Brighter Than a Thousand Suns. Wow, those are some deep cuts, Jason. Starblind. I'm a total Maiden freak, and I'm like,
is that a Dio song?
I gotta look for that.
Stargazer.
And then my friend Austin Redding, a producer in LA, who I should reach out to, by the way, since we're going out to LA, see if he wants to hang. Oh, Mickey, On the Road Again, and Dancing on the Ceiling. Hardly anyone knows they wrote those gems.
What?
Oh, very funny, Austin.
Dance on the Ceiling by
comedian.
Lionel Richie?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mickey, you know, by Tony Basil. Oh. But yeah, so you always get the jokesters on. Right, on Facebook. Ira Siegel, Innocent Exile. Wow, great pick. Remember Tomorrow, Rainbow's Gold. It's a cover. I've Got the Fire, also a cover, so I figured I'd include it. Absolutely. Rainbow's Gold is a deep cut for sure. I don't know about Remember Tomorrow. Is Remember Tomorrow a deep cut? I mean, that was like on the Made in Japan EP. I don't know. I feel like that might not qualify as a deep cut for me, Ira. Innocent Exile, yeah, deep cut for sure off of Killers. Not super deep in my opinion, but definitely deep. And there's kids yelling in the background. That's the way we roll here in Maplewood, New Jersey. It's just like an open house. There's kids in our house.
You know
it's 8:30 at night.
It says something about the vibe in our house. Yeah. People like to be here. We always have like at least 14,000 children in our house.
Joshua Griffin said Total Eclipse, Sea of Madness. And I don't know this third one. I got to listen to this, Joshua. Pasa Shanadel. No idea what that is.
Shana Del Rey?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Lana Del Rey, we will get to some talk on her later. Dream of Mirrors, The Edge of Darkness, Isle of Avalon, our three picks by Darren Smith, Alexander the Great, Sun and Steel, The Prophecy, yeah, by Doug Gross. And Doug, we just heard Sun and Steel coming into the episode, so good call on that. And that one goes out to you, Doug Gross on Facebook. And Jay Rustin, the cover of Cross-Eyed Mary is incredible. Jay just gave us one. That's cool. I will say that was one of my first songs by Maiden that I loved because I heard that on the radio. They played that. And it wasn't on the original pressing of Peace of Mind, but it was on the picture disc. They tacked it on to the end of side one on the picture disc version of Peace of Mind. And that's, I got that for Christmas. And there's a crazy picture of me, pimply faced teenager somewhere on Instagram, opening that Christmas present on Christmas Day. And wow, the list goes on and on. Steve Wright says Sea of Madness, Holy Smoke, Fallen Angel. Holy Smoke's a good one. I don't know if I consider Holy Smoke a super deep cut, though. That's just me. And then somebody says, Adam Marr says, The Educated Fool, that was Blaze era tune, right? Yes, you are correct. Michael Street said, Back in the Village, Die with Your Boots On, Cross-Eyed Mary. We just had a little edit there because my kid came and screamed in the mic and blew out my eardrums. So I edited that horrible moment.
That was my fault.
Out.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Adam Mir said, May not be as hardcore as others, but kill me if these aren't super deep cuts. Women in Uniform, The Age of Innocence, Cross-Eyed Mary. I would say Women in Uniform is not a super deep cut, even though it was technically never on an album, right? But it was pretty, there was a music video for it. It was pretty big tune. That's just me, but I love Women in Uniform. All great stuff, guys. Keep the comments coming on Facebook. And right now, let's get into a band that randomly reached out to me on Facebook. And I normally hate it when people do that and I don't respond. But for some weird reason, I watched their music video that they sent me and thought these guys were great. They're from Pennsylvania. The band is called Royal Hell. And this song is called Higher Court.
Can you hear the hammer hitting? Turn you out your mind.
Higher Court by Royal Hell out of Pennsylvania. Now, check those guys out, by the way, on Facebook.com/Royal Hell. Summertime Sadness right here on Talking Metal.
Kiss me hard before you go. Summertime sadness. I just wanted you to know that baby, you're the best. I got my red dress on tonight, dancing in the dark in the pale moonlight. Done my hair up real big, beauty queen style. High heels off, I'm feeling alive. Oh my God, I feel it in the eyes of the four wires above. A sizzling like a snare, honey, I'm on fire. I feel it everywhere, nothing scares me anymore. Kiss me hard before you go. Summertime sadness.
Song, and I think that sounds good, kind of given the heavy metal treatment. And yeah, good stuff. So let's get into your interview right now, Emily, with Lexi from Steel Panther. And man, I remember these guys. The first time I was turned on to them was when, what's the comedian's name? Sarah Silverman?
Yes.
It was in their music video.
Yeah.
Yeah, great stuff. But for now, let's hear a brand new song, which he mentions in your interview. All I Want to Do Is F Myself Tonight. And he mentions this in the interview too. You guys talk about it. So let's check this out. We'll hear a sound sample of this brand new song and then go pre-order the album on Amazon Music. We'll have the links up in today's show notes. And then we'll hear from Lexi here on Talking Metal.
Looking good, but not good enough to change my mind.
Hello, Talking Metal listeners. This is Emily Striegel coming at you. And today on the line with me, I have from Steel Panther, Mr. Lexi Fox. How you doing, Lexi?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. Good to hear my voice, too.
So I actually had the honor of seeing you recently up at Heavy Montreal.
Oh, you did. I love Montreal. It's a fun place.
Yeah. You guys rocked the stage at Heavy Montreal. Super hot. I don't think you guys have played there before, but you were. I don't think
we have either. Yeah.
It's a fun festival.
I don't think we have. It's a great festival, and yeah, I don't think we definitely haven't been to. Yeah, we haven't done that one. I know that.
Yeah, Heavy Montreal is amazing. And how did it feel being on the bill with bands like Slayer and Municipal Waste and Anthrax from your perspective?
Well, they're definitely not as pretty as we are. that's what you get. But it was really cool because, you know, we're friends with a couple of guys from Anthrax. And also, you know, again, we don't have to worry about any of those bands stealing any of our chicks. So that's kind of a cool thing to have in the back of our pocket as well.
Exactly. I know. And coming into that festival, seeing you guys, you know, on the bill, I was like, how is this going to go over? I mean, I had to say,
I know, right?
You know, you're walking around seeing totally. People wearing Dying Fetus t-shirts and you're like, how is this going? But you guys killed it. You really did. I was walking around. Everyone was singing along, and I think you guys were received really, really well, considering, you know, the rest of the bill being pretty heavy stuff.
So heavy, exactly that. Exactly. We had a really good time with that. And too, you know, which we're excited to do is start playing some of our new songs. We got to play All I Want to Do Is Fuck Myself tonight there. So that was really cool, playing some new stuff off the record. So
yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the record. Heavy Metal Rules, coming out September 27th, your fifth full-length studio effort. Talk to me a little bit about this, Lexi.
Well, it's really cool. This is my favorite record so far. Of course, I say that every time a new record comes out, but this is my favorite. The first song, All I Want to Do Is Fuck Myself Tonight, Sato wrote about me. So I like playing that song a lot because it's about me. And we're super excited. We've had a great response from the videos. We're doing another video. Actually, I think in a week or so, we're going to be doing another video. And so I love it because we get to do new songs, and our fans deserve to hear some new stuff from us because it's been a while.
It has been. I know everyone's pumped about it. And so one of the videos I think you're referring to was the one for Always Gonna Be a Ho. Is that the first track off the album?
Yes, exactly.
On that same tip, Always Gonna Be a Ho. So a lot of headlines recently about the whole Me Too movement. And I was actually really, you know, applauding you guys for coming out and saying, you know, we're not changing. This is who we are, because I don't even know how you guys became associated with the Me Too movement, because you guys are
right. You're
satire. And honestly, I'm a woman. You guys celebrate females more than, you know, anyone else. And I remember, you know, when the pussy melter pedal thing happened, I guess a year ago or something.
Right.
I remember like tweeting out like, you guys got the wrong guys.
That's exactly that. We do. We love women. That's just, we really, really do. And you know, at the same time too, it's like, really, today it's like, who really can take themselves that fucking seriously? And what's cool about us, and not just bringing back the sound of the 80s, also just the party, the whole thing that a lot of people missed out on. And if you happen to laugh at some of the lyrics, then great, then have a good time and do, you know, take it however you want to take it. But we definitely love women, and you know, as far as the pussy melter and all that thing goes, I mean, those are all good things for women.
Exactly.
All women want their vaginas melted. Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I have to rant a little bit. You just have to let me rant. But, you know, being politically correct is important in certain arenas in life, right?
Well,
being respectful and treating
exactly
others as
that.
Equals. But there's this thing called satire and comedy. And the people who are, you know,
we're
suffering. Comedians are suffering, you know, people who understand what satire is, you know, and are being attacked for material that's far more tame than what was out there in the 70s and 80s, honestly, you know?
Totally.
Like, let's
totally
rewind yep. a little bit. And it's like we've taken it too far and are losing focus. The Me Too movement, yes, it's so important, but we've lost focus on what we should be focusing on. It's a lot of focus.
Well, I agree with you. There you go. I agree with you 100%. And that's just, I mean, shit, I just lost focus of what we were talking about.
No,
I got it right back. No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, literally, we're just, and that's the cool thing about this record as well. I mean, it's cool because we're all excited about it for many reasons. But the first, you know, being that hopefully more chicks dig it. Again, it's I agree with you. And too many people take themselves way too seriously. Yeah. So that's why we had to put out a new record so everybody can rock out to the heavy metal and also remind themselves to not take themselves too seriously.
Yeah. I mean, we need it more than ever. We need to laugh. We need to be able
to let
our hair down, even though our hair will never look as good as Lexi's. We need
to
let it down.
Speaking of that, I'm getting my hair frosted at 1 o'clock. So I'm never letting my hair down. I'm here, always going to have my hair down. I mean,
so I have a question for you. Like my favorite movies of all time are the satires, the mockumentaries, like Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, and obviously the most famous.
Those are all the best in the whole world. Exactly.
The best. Michael McKean is my hero. Spinal Tap being, you know, the most famous, probably.
Yeah, Christopher Guest is pretty amazing.
God. Oh, my God. Waiting for Guffman is my favorite movie of all time.
Genius.
He's a genius. So any chance we would ever get this from you, are you guys just going to stick with music and like, you know what? We do music. We do some shtick and some comedy. But would you ever think about that? Or have you ever approached anyone about doing a mockumentary or a satire kind of movie?
Well, there's been offers. We've done a couple pilots too for Comedy Central, and we've done some things, but we're, you know, getting together with Rob Riggle and doing things with the Dick House guys. There's always something in the works for us. Everybody always has some ideas of what they want to do or how they want to present us because, you know, we love doing our Steel Panther TV and we love, you know, having a good time with all that. That being said, it's like, it's tough to do anything to lock something down like that when we're touring as much as we are.
Exactly.
And supporting, like you said, supporting this record. So, but we're open to anything, anytime. We really are. We enjoy doing that. We enjoy, you know, doing exactly that, doing second, like another, you know, kind of, you know, just a day in the life of Steel Panther, so there, there's been a lot of ideas, but nothing's solid, you know, so far.
Rob Reiner hasn't approached you and asked if he can tour with you for a while.
Rob hasn't done that. No, I think he's done it once. So yeah, why do it again?
Exactly. So rewind. I want to rewind back. Like, so first time I heard of you guys was probably, it had to be over 15 years ago. And I was going to LA and a friend of mine said, you got to go to such and such key club. I don't remember where it was. You got to go.
Is
that where you guys had you guys had like a weekly standing gig there, right?
Yeah, we had a residency there, and we had one in Vegas as well. But now, you know, that was like, that was a while ago because 2009 we signed with Universal, and then we've been, you know, we can't lock down a residency because we're just gone so much. So
exactly.
But that's what we used to do exactly.
But you know, I'm from NYC, and there are a lot of kind of bands similar to what you guys did, right? Like tribute, they're, you know, they do a specific era or a specific kind of music. What was it about Steel Panther that created this rabid, you know, following and loyal following? Like, what made you different from all these other bands that have done it?
Well, I really think that, you know, bringing back a genre of time, I mean, the 80s were that was the best fucking time, I mean, for music. It really, really was. All different kinds of music. But metal was the best, and there's different kinds of metal, like you were saying, like Judas Priest, Dokken, and you have Europe, Poison, Cinderella, Anthrax, Slayer. So there's all different kinds of metal, but we kind of wrap it all up in one, and I think we are different because basically, you know, we're bringing back the coolest, you know, era of all time in history, and everybody likes that. I mean, who wants the music? I mean, now I think music sucks, and I just think that the style of the 80s and the style of metal and hearing guitar and screechy vocals, I think, you know, nobody does that anymore. So we're the only band that does it, so I think people latch onto that.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Well, we're pumped about the album. Heavy Metal Rules, due out the 27th, and you guys are going to be doing a supporting tour, right? I think you're kicking it off in LA on the 26th.
We are. Yeah, we are. I think that's going to be our, yeah, that is. That'll be the first time we're playing like a lot of stuff off the new record. So we're so excited for that.
Yeah. Well, we are excited for it as well. And really appreciate you giving us some time on Talking Metal today. I encourage all our listeners to check out the new album, Heavy Metal Rules. And looking forward to having you guys back on and checking you out when you're out here on the East Coast. I know you're playing two nights at the Gramercy. Not bad.
I think we're doing two nights there. Are you going to be there?
I'll definitely be there. I will be there one of those two nights for sure. So we'll come down
you
and say hi.
Come back and say hi.
Absolutely will, Lexi. So nice to speak with you today. And enjoy.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you so much for taking the time yourself.
Is it Death to All But Metal? Yeah, that's the end of that video. And that song right there featuring Corey Taylor on co-lead vocals, a guy we just saw perform with Slipknot down at the PNC Art Center. Yeah.
Can we talk about what butt metal would be if it were really a thing? Who would be in the genre of butt metal?
Wouldn't
it be like the new, like,
I don't know.
We categorize like certain hair metal bands that I don't like? Could they be butt metal? Can I put them in the butt metal category?
I don't know.
Because there are some that I don't like.
Yeah.
I won't speak about them, but.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I know hair metal isn't the appropriate term either.
Right. Well, I don't like it. It's become very universal, though.
Yeah.
But great job with the interview, Emily. And we've had requests, people saying, why isn't Emily on an episode? So here you are. You're
on
an episode.
That.
Yeah.
I love that feedback, man.
Yeah.
Because I've never been a part of the team. Well, I mean, I guess I've been part of the team for a while.
You've always been a part of the team.
Hello.
What are you talking about?
I've always been there. I was there since the original Guns N' Roses Stakeout in 2005. But,
correct.
I mean, I've always been there, and Mark would always say, do an interview. And I was like, no, it's not my thing. But then you finally, there was one day, the first interview I think I did was Jeff Tate.
Right.
And it was because he could only do a daytime interview and you had to work that day.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's the only
day.
That
was the famous saxophone, haunted saxophone interview. We're not going to go into the explanation of that, but.
But I was just like, I felt like I was like trapped, and you were just like, you have to, we're not going to get Jeff Tate. And I'm like, we got to get Jeff Tate. And so I was like forced to do it. And then the fans have been really kind to me, even though I am not an encyclopedia like you are. I can actually,
but you hold your own, you know your stuff.
I know
my stuff
for sure. Yeah.
And on that note, let's get into a very short interview I conducted with JF. He works at the company Evenco, and they are the masterminds and the great company that put on Heavy Montreal, one of our favorite music festivals, and we're always up there in Montreal for Heavy Montreal. And yeah, let's talk to JF and get the behind-the-scenes scoop on Evenco and Heavy Montreal. And this is a very short interview, and it's a producer and a promoter. I know some you guys like zone out when we do interviews with non-rock stars, but this is like literally 3 minutes long. So give it a chance. Here we go. JF from Evenco. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and we are here at Heavy Montreal, sitting down with one of the brains and creative producers behind the festival, JF. JF, how are you, man?
I'm extremely good. It's sweaty and hot. It's beautiful in Montreal right now.
We are waiting for Anthrax to come into the press area to receive an award. It looks like they're coming in right now, so we're going to jump over to that in a minute. But let's talk about you. What is your official title with the festival?
I'm a talent buyer for at Evenco, which is the Montreal-based company that books Heavy Montreal and a thousand shows a year in the city.
A thousand shows. That's incredible. And the lineup of Heavy Montreal is something I thoroughly enjoy. There's a lot of diversity in it. I get the old school bands like Quiet Riot. I get the stoner rock bands that I love like Fu Manchu. And then you get the big marquee bill bands too. Like, you know, I've seen who? Metallica, Slayer. We saw Ghost last night. How do you go about selecting the bands?
I think that Montreal has such a long history of love for metal that's been going on probably since Voivod started. It was 30 years ago or so. So there's different generations of metal fans in the cities. Some of them have been listening to thrash for the last 30 years. Some of them immigrated to Montreal coming from Europe, listening to power metal. And then there's a new generation of kids that grew up looking at their idols, Despised Icon and Cataclysm. So we try to have a nice little mismatch of all kinds of metal, all kinds of fast and loud music. And unlike other festivals, we love the idea of trying to get everything metal. And it's been working very well in Montreal for the last 10 years at Heavy Montreal.
Absolutely. And of course, you were kind enough to let us have some catering the earlier today for lunch. The catering at the festival is world famous. I interview bands and they always bring up how great the catering is. Can you talk a little bit about how you treat the artists, from catering to just giving them literally rock star treatment?
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, we've always treated our festival as a boutique festival. We've never considered ourselves competing with, you know, Wacken or Lollapalooza or whatever. We're trying to do something special for our city, and we find that the best way to attract the best bands is to treat them nicely. And obviously, I don't know about you, but if you want to treat me nicely, food is always the way to do it, you know? So it's important for us to have the best food and try to have the best catering possible.
Absolutely. And I just want to thank you on behalf of Talking Metal that you treat us, the media. We're not even a band. We're just losers who do a website and a podcast, and you treat us like gold when we come here every year, and we really appreciate it. And it is our favorite North American festival. So thank you for always treating Talking Metal with such respect and kindness.
I think that we're all losers listening to metal music, and I want to have a good time. And, you know, it's important to treat people the way you want to be treated, right? So we're trying to have a good time. We're trying to be nice to people. And people are nice back at us. People have been supporting our festival for the last 10 years. And it's all about the love. It's all about the positive mental attitude. And we love it here. And we're glad that you guys are supporting us as well.
We always will. And we will see you next year. Thanks for a great festival this year.
Thank you so much.
Just
by Ghost, a band that we saw up at Heavy Montreal this past year. And big thanks to JF for getting us up there, flying us up to Montreal and giving us the royal treatment, literally at Heavy Montreal.
I love that
so much
festival.
Fun. On the island known as, or named, Parc Jean Drapeau.
Oh my God.
Je joue au volleyball.
Je joue au volleyball. Your son wants to say something.
I'm Harrison and I'm turning 11 and I'm awesome and I hope you guys subscribe to his YouTube channel and buy a Talking Metal sweatshirt.
Okay, yeah, Talking Metal sweatshirts discounted to $50. So if you want one of those, let me know. They're very comfortable and of very high quality. Ghost, a couple new tunes out this week. We just heard Rats. I like the new Ghost tunes. Emily and I were talking about those. And let's talk about my friend, Sean Baker, and his great Sean Baker Orchestra. This is Coming Up Roses by the Sean Baker Orchestra. We'll be right back. Roses by the Sean Baker Orchestra, a guy who's been a part of the Talking Metal family for a long time and it's let us use his music for free on our TV show. And man, he's a shredder, one of the greatest shredders you've never heard of. That's how I refer to Sean Baker. So good, such a talent. And yeah, I mean, and he's like, he's kind of on the fringe, you know, he's toured with Bruce Bouillet from Racer X and, you know, done some really cool stuff and put out a lot of great music. So Emily, I did some detective work. Actually, Joey Haney was the first guy who asked me about this. Now we, reported, thanks to Steve Stevens' interview that we did with him, that he is writing with Ozzy Osbourne. And there's been three songs written. Now on the recent episode of Ozzy Speaks on Sirius XM, Ozzy mentioned he's doing some additional writing with, and this is what Ozzy said, with some guy named Andrew. That's all he said. Joey Haney on Facebook said, I wonder if it's Andrew Watt. And I kind of brushed it off. I said, well, I'm sure there's a million songwriters named Andrew. Andrew Watt is a producer. He's done some hard rock stuff. He put out a great EP called Ghost in My Head a few years back. But mostly, I mean, he's a rock guitar player, but mostly he's known for working with Justin Bieber, Post Malone, Rita Ora, Lana, even played on the new one track on the Lana Del Rey.
Let's talk about the connection here.
Yeah, so the new song, Ozzy, Take What You Want, is coincidentally co-written by, well, there's like, you know, these rap songs, they have like five co-writers on
them. The Post Malone song with Ozzy on it?
Yeah, it's called Take What You Want. I did a YouTube video about it. Is written, co-written by Andrew Watt.
There you go.
Ozzy Osbourne, Post Malone, Scott Travis, and like other people. Yeah. You know how these hip-hop songs are. So, Post Malone, and who do you know who Post Malone's guitar player is?
No.
Andrew Watt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's his touring guitar player.
There you go. That's
and he also plays on the new Lana Del Rey song, which I think is the worst song on the new Lana Del Rey record, which is the Sublime cover. But anyways, I think that it's highly likely that the Andrew, like I put it at 95%, the Andrew Ozzy Osbourne mentions that he's doing some additional songwriting with, is Andrew Watt.
Yeah.
Because again, some guy named Andrew, and apparently it sounded like Post Malone gave an interview and he was like, yeah, Ozzy was at Andrew's studio.
Yeah.
And I got on the Skype or the FaceTime and I watched him record the song Take What You Want. So it was interesting. So I'm you know, if Ozzy's already at this guy's studio and Ozzy said in an interview that he's writing with some guy named Andrew, I assume it's
Andrew. That's a done deal.
Yeah.
That's
now,
a done deal.
The thing is, it's funny because in Ozzy Speaks, the guy Billy Morrison says to Ozzy, he's like, oh, so how are the tunes or something? And he's like, oh, I don't know. They might not be good or they might be great. I don't know. he gives a total disclaimer, like, it was kind of weird. And then he comes back to it again and he's like, I don't even know if they're any good.
Andrew Watt is a great songwriter, though.
But,
and he's got a good ear. Do you remember
Ozzy material. Stevens, I think, is really could be a really good match for Ozzy.
Really?
Zach Wilde? Yeah.
So, Steve Stevens better than Andrew Watt?
Because he's a metal guitar player.
Okay.
I mean, and Andrew Watt might be a metal guitar player.
He's more blues bass.
Yeah, I mean, he's got kind of that metal sound, but he's not doing taps and you know, stuff. So I don't know. It could be a good magic. It's like Ozzy says. And Ozzy, again, doesn't give it a glowing review on. He says something like, well, it may not be very good or it could be great. What do I know?
Okay,
quiz.
When is the last time that you and I saw Andrew Watt in person together?
In Albany with Chevy Metal.
Side stage.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
I was thinking Albany, but I was thinking he was side stage for Sebastian Bach's
Yeah, he was hanging out side stage, but we saw them play too.
I didn't see Chevy Metal.
Taylor Hawkins.
I didn't see Chevy Metal.
Yeah, well, Chevy Metal was playing. Yeah,
I know they play, but I didn't see that set.
Yeah, we saw like two songs of theirs, I thought. But
I didn't. You may have. We were probably split off doing interviews, but I was doing Avatar at that time.
Right. Could be.
But we definitely saw him side stage for Sebastian Bach.
Yeah, he was on the side of the stage with Taylor Hawkins watching Sebastian Bach. And yeah. Sebastian Bach seemed like he was more concerned with the fact that Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters and and maybe Andrew Watt, maybe he was just concerned with Taylor. I don't know. But because no offense to Andrew Watt, but he's not like a mainstream rock star like Taylor is.
Yeah.
But he seemed really... like he was almost focusing more on Taylor Hawkins and possibly Andrew Watt on the side stage than he was the actual audience.
The actual audience, I know. But can I tell you a side story? This is obnoxious. But Sebastian Bach, so remember how we were poolside with my sister talking with her about she was planning a birthday party for
her friend? Right.
This is a friend of mine. And we used to fight over Sebastian Bach, who was going to marry Sebastian Bach. And it was going to be Leslie or me who's going to marry Sebastian Bach when we were 15 years old.
Right.
And so for her, is it her 50th? No, not 50th. It's got to be like her birthday. So her 45th maybe. They drove her to Ohio, my sister, and her friends drove their best friend to Ohio to a Sebastian Bach show. And they got him on the tour bus and they got pictures with Sebastian.
Right. Wow. That's awesome.
So I got to show these to you. I didn't even tell you this.
Yeah, no, this is the first time hearing it.
My sister and I were plotting this like poolside over the summer. Like, what are we going to do for Leslie's birthday? So I'll show you the pictures of Baz. He's such a good dude, man. He really is. And I don't care what people say politically. He's been speaking up quite a bit and I give him props.
Right. There you go. And let's listen to some. This is kind of poppy for talking metal, but somebody just said that, you know, they love that the show is so diverse and features all forms of heavy rock. And I appreciate that, whoever said that on social media. This is Ghost in My Head by Andrew Watt.
She don't want me, and if you
All right, Ghost in My Head by Andrew Watt, who is now writing with Ozzy Osbourne, one of at least a few writers at this point that we know of that Ozzy is working on new music with. I don't understand why this isn't a bigger news story, but Ozzy Osbourne is working on new music. We know that for sure at this point, absolutely for sure. And it's my guess that he's not just doing it for fun. I mean, I think if he's doing new music, there is an end goal of, yeah, there'll probably be a record at some point. So, and I hope so. I hope so. I want that organic record. I want Ozzy getting in a room with some guys, with Zach and some people jamming, not just, you know, going and sitting in front of somebody's Pro Tools. That's just me. And who knows if that would happen. I think
he wants that, or do you think he's tired? Do you think Ozzy really wants to create? I don't know.
I think that
the
13 was an interesting album, and that was a hard album for him. You know, there's been some people that have said, well, Black Rain and you know, some of the more recent stuff was, you know, Ozzy would kind of just show up at the studio and do his thing and leave, and wasn't quite as engaged as he was maybe way back in the day. I don't know if that's true. No one knows if that's true. I mean, in talking to Adam Wakeman, who has worked on the recent Ozzy records, Scream and Black Rain, it did sound like he was pretty engaged. But, you know, again, who knows? Who knows? I think he was engaged in 13, and I think Rick Rubin, who, you know, I don't know if Ozzy really had a great experience working with Rick Rubin. You could argue that either way from what we've read in interviews, but I think
Rick Rubin's too much of a hippie.
I think Rick worked him hard. I do think that.
I think he worked him hard, but I think he's also a hippie, and Ozzy's just kind of like,
is what it is. Really?
From a musical perspective.
Well, yeah, he's got Zen thing going on.
Let's break it down. Yeah, he is. Ozzy, I don't think that's Ozzy's deal.
No,
I love Rick Rubin too, by the way. I love them both. I just don't see them vibing in particular.
Right.
Can you hear our kids screaming
in the
background?
It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
No, it's not. It's life.
Yeah, it's life. Yeah. All right. So on that note, we are going to end it. And wow, I went through all my songs. I like to end with a song. And by the way, please support us on Patreon, guys. We want your support on Patreon. Thanks to all you great folks who join us there. And any songs we can hit? I mean, I have one I was thinking of playing. Emily, do you have any off the top of your head? And Emily hates it when I put her on the spot. Excuse me, that was a beer burp.
Dirty Honey.
Okay, sure.
Dirty Honey. You know why I'm celebrating Dirty Honey today is because I, of course, saw them at Heavy Montreal, fell in love with them, got to interview them, and now they're opening for Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, which
two
is great.
Dates in Vegas.
And
that's huge for them.
Let's give a big shout out to the Talking Metal YouTube page, youtube.com/talkingmetal, where Emily does a video interview with the guys from Dirty Honey. And it makes me sad that it has like 120 views.
Yeah.
And I get in the minivan and do a mark in the minivan and it gets 5,000 views. It blows. I'm flattered that people like this. Because I get in the minivan and I'm like, uninhibited, is that the word? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I can, I act like I would never act at a party. Like I
True.
Put on voices and I do stupid stuff and I act like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yet I'm doing it in front of thousands of people. But yet if I was at a party or even sitting here in the kitchen, like I just feel like I'm not gonna like act like an idiot. You know?
Yeah,
like,
you yeah. are. I've seen you yeah. make scrambled eggs
well,
in the morning.
Yeah.
You act like an idiot.
Well, thank you.
I'm
but in front of you, it's a different story. But it's just like, yeah, it makes me sad that the interviews that go up on the YouTube page, people don't seem to care about. And at the same time, it makes me happy that you guys are enjoying the minivan stuff so much. So I put one up
Who
yesterday.
Knows how that works? All these yeah. algorithms and stuff, whatever.
Yeah,
but I'm just know. Glad to see Dirty Honey getting some support. And it's obviously from
Slash.
Yeah, go
Slash watch the video.
Because they opened a number of dates for Slash. So he obviously liked
Guns N' Roses,
them enough.
So that's
great. He's bringing them out with GNR. So that's cool.
All right, so here's a little Dirty Honey here on Talking Metal. Check out Emily's interview with these guys on youtube.com/talkingmetal. You'll probably have to scroll down a little in the video section because we posted it a month or two ago. But there you go, and we'll talk to you next time. Join me on Patreon. Get that free, it's not free, get the pay podcast, the Mark Striegel podcast, for as little as $2 a month on Patreon. You get it every Friday. It's a whole bonus episode. More of this nonsense for you people who want it for as little as $2 a month. Dirty Honey here on Talking Metal.
You tell me that you need me in the dead of the night, the dead of the night, only to deceive me in my worried mind, my worried mind. But if you take my shackles off, I'd see you're just a heartbreaker, a heartbreaker. What you do to me? Please.